Thank you very much. That was very beautiful. I think that goes on a little longer. We could have had a double on that one. I think we're all familiar with that tune. Maybe you didn't recognize the name of it, but it is always a very beautiful, beautiful song or tune. I think if we've been reading the Life, Hope, and Truth, if we've been reading the daily Bible verses, if we've been reading anything that's come out from headquarters in the last week and a half, you'll realize that there has been a lot of information on the subject of being thankful. We were gone, of course, for a while, but we noticed that in the last week, basically, headquarters, in the information that they've been coming out with, has stressed thankfulness. I am not just going to be going through all of those Bible verses and everything that came out, but I will draw from that information. The sermon is actually entitled, Thank You, or you could say thankfulness, but it is on being thankful. And I know quite often during the time of Thanksgiving, we do have a message on thankfulness. It is very important to God. And the question for us is it important to us? It's easy for me to read all the information, to read Bible verses on it, and still not be thankful. I was actually thinking the other day concerning the subject of God's plan, and especially when it comes to the New Testament and what the Jews had to face, and how they thought that if they did these certain sacrifices and rituals, that they could be purified, that they could be justified before God. And God showed that, no, it takes the sacrifice of Christ, and it also takes then the Holy Spirit through the sacrifice of Christ. And once you have the Holy Spirit, then you can be justified. But, you know, there's another step in that. If you have the Holy Spirit, will you be automatically changed to a spirit being? And the answer is yes, if you have it when we die. But it's no, we can have the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is the time that is a picture of having the Holy Spirit. But it's the doing of it that is so important, the doing of it. So we can actually receive God's Holy Spirit and end up in the lake of fire. We didn't actually lose it, that is, because it's not the law that justifies us. It is the doing of the law that justifies us. Remember the Romans 2, I believe, in verse 13, the doers of the law will be justified. And so sometimes you say, well, the law will not justify you, and the answer is, no, it won't. The doing of the law will, and there is a difference in that, isn't there? So if you go down the line and see the plan of God and you end with the Holy Spirit, you can't end with the Holy Spirit. You have to end with doing what the Holy Spirit leads us to do, and that is to keep the law, because the Holy Spirit writes the law in our hearts and in our minds. So we have to take this subject of thankfulness and then apply it in our lives. The difference between our being thankful and being unthankful will no doubt be the difference as to whether we're in the kingdom of God or not. If we are unthankful, we actually won't be in the kingdom of God because of what happens with our character, with our attitude, when we're not thankful. Luke 6:35, and I actually picked up one more scripture from the sermonette in 1 Peter. I don't know how I'll have time to get it, but it was just a couple of verses close to it. The one in 1 Peter 3, I believe it was. But when we go to John chapter 6 and verse 35, it is not on, how about Matthew? No, let's go to Luke. Oh, is someone out there correcting me when I'm wrong? No, that's good. It's Luke 6:35. I was actually over in John, but it is Luke 6:35, and it's not talking about the subject of eternal life. But there's a principle here that I'm drawing from it that shows us how unthankfulness is likened unto something very, very bad. So it's Luke 6 and verse 35. Did I say, I'll get this right. Yes, here it is. Love your enemies, do good, and lend. Okay, so it's about your enemies. It's about the way we treat people. Love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Huge, gigantic command here from God that is so hard to follow through with and do. Hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the highest. But then notice what it says. He is kind to the... And notice the two descriptors that are mentioned here. Unthankful and the evil. So it's not just unthankful and impatient. It's not unthankful and slow to wrath. You know, it's unthankful and evil. He puts those in the same category. This is the same problem. Are we evil when we are unthankful? And I would say, yeah, we are. We are. And you might say, well, that's just toward God, though. And the answer is, no, it's not just toward God. It's going to be towards people, too. Because actually the way we treat people is the way in the millennium, after we get used to being around God, it's the way we will treat God. And we can't forget that. You know, there's this infatuation period when people are engaged or when they're dating. It's about a year and a half period. And I tell people when I'm counseling them for marriage that it is infatuation. That's not bad now. Infatuation is fine. There's no problems with infatuation. But taken to its extent on the bad end, it would be infatuation can blind you. You know, love is... blind. Okay. Well, love really isn't blind, but that's the expression in the world. Love is blind. But what I'm saying is that there's this period of time where we would do what, you know, we need to in praising God. Oh, Father, I worship you. I thank you for all your blessings. You're a wonderful God. But then we treat people totally unlike we praise God. So in the millennium, you may last, or we may last, 1,000 years and be fine, and another 100 years through the great white throne judgment period, and maybe another 1,000 years, but finally it's going to come out, if we have in this life been treating people in an unthankful way, we're going to do that with God. So we're not going to get 2,000 years into the kingdom of God, if God sees the way we're treating people, because he knows that, you know, I'm just God now, and you guys are all spirit beings. God says you all can't be killed. You know, you have eternal life. Your spirit, I promised it. I gave it to you just like I gave it to Satan the devil. But he turned on me, and I don't know how long it took. Could have been 1,000 years, it could have been 2,000 years, it could have been 3,000 years. But God is testing us in this life the way we treat people. So the way we treat people and the way we treat God as far as thankfulness is very important. Very important. So this is on thank you God and thank you mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, boss, fellow co-workers. This is on treating God and people with thankfulness. So first of all, thankfulness is a command. And we'll take a look at a few scriptures, and probably these came out in one way or another in the past week. If you took the Bible verses, or if you saw a couple of the articles on thankfulness and unthankfulness. There was one by Mr. Tim Groves, if you haven't read them. Another one by Mr. Mike Bennett, that you can go back to. And some, I think, that may have been a little older, too, because they will give links to those articles. But let's go to Ephesians 2:20. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. And wouldn't you know, I'm going to get it wrong right from the beginning. Maybe it's 3 and verse 20 or 1 and verse 20. Well, anyway, it says, be thankful always for all things, okay? Just put it down as a reference and we'll correct it later. Sometimes I've actually given the right scripture and I'm looking at it right, but this time I'm looking at it wrong. But the scripture that in Ephesians that I'm thinking of is, be thankful always, and then it says, for all things, for all things. And I know that you're looking, is it 520? Okay. Yeah, 5's kind of like a 2. It's just missing a little curly Q a couple places. Okay, 520. Okay, verse 19, let's start there then. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, then giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just tell you, by the way, a little story there. When we were out for Thanksgiving, one of the relatives, one of the younger relatives, prayed during the 3-4 days we always pray before a meal. And it was immediately, thank you, Jesus, right away, right in the beginning. And it's like, you can't do that. Now, I didn't take a teaching moment right there and stop him in the middle of his prayer. But whatever the case, it wasn't my son who did it. It was one of the younger ones now who's been influenced in this society. But it's like, no, we don't pray to Jesus. There's nothing. Where do they get that? Well, they get it in the churches around because that's what they do in the churches. And they end by praying in, we pray in your name. And it's like, which name now? Which name are we praying in? Are we praying in the name of Jesus and to God? Because sometimes we pray, to God, and then you pray to your name. I've heard that one too. You pray to God, and then you pray in His name. And here it's very clear, and these are just little points for all of you who are younger. If you ever visit a church, you're going to see these things taking place. You're going to hear them pray, and you're going to have to think, no, it doesn't say that. Jesus Christ made it very clear the night before the Passover or on Passover night, you pray to God the Father, and you pray in the name of Jesus Christ. So here it's very clear. How can it be more clear? Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father. We thank God the Father, and we do it in the name, or by the authority, or through Jesus Christ. But notice it does say, giving thanks always. So it's part of our Christian life to give thanks. Now, the reason I know that this is needed in the church, because I come across this problem from time to time in God's church. If it's in the world, what do you expect? We don't expect in the world for people to be thankful. We want them to be. It's good for them. And if we feel bad, like I will never do that again because they're not thankful, remember what we just read in Luke 6:35. Where it says, God is good. God is good to the unthankful and to the evil. So it shouldn't change our lifestyle, shouldn't, when people aren't thankful. We still need to be good to them in the right way. You know, we expect them to do their part, but we're still being good to evil people. And we are good to unthankful people. We are. So it's not going to change the way we treat unthankful people. If they're unthankful, we're still going to be good. And that's very important. That's hard for me to do, by the way, and for years. You know, when I came across that scripture, it's like I never read it before. It's like Luke 6:35. Why does that scripture have to be there? I don't like that. And it's like first time, and I've been in church almost, well, over 50 years, and it's like that scripture's been there all this time, and I never concentrated on it. It's probably because I started feeling, you know, like I shouldn't be good to the evil and to the unthankful. I'm never going to give them anything ever again because they, you know, we have that attitude. We then should not feel rejected because then we're doing it out of a wrong motive, right? So we have to make sure our motive is there to please God. We then are in the attitude of giving thanks. I say it's a problem in the church because I've run across people where, I won't say on what occasions, but on different occasions, there's been a gift and you'll never hear back. I don't mean just something, you know, small like they complimented you on your tie and you expect, you know, that I should give you a thank you card for complimenting on my tie. This thing on thank you can really go too far. Although if someone compliments us, you know, we should say thank you. But, you know, we can do too much. Little things, we are thankful for everything. We do give thanks. But I've seen people that have shown a practice, let's put it that way, of being unthankful. The practice of being unthankful. And that's where the problem comes because everybody can, you know, forget or not be thankful once in a while. Certainly that is. But we should have this attitude of thankfulness in the church. And I've seen some people where it's like, you know, I think there's a problem with thankfulness because, you know, you've known them for 5 years, 10 years, or whatever it might be. And it's like, I think I see something there. And we want to be sure to be thankful as people in the church. So it does hit the church. That's why Life, Hope, and Truth and daily Bible verses come out for the church. We're the ones reading it mostly. Colossians. I'm not even going to tell you where I go because if it's the wrong scripture, I don't want it to be. Okay, it's Colossians 4 and verse 2. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Continue, notice, earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it. The word vigilant is to be watchful. Watch ourselves. Be cognizant of how we pray because we can start moaning and complaining to God and then not be thankful. So which person is God going to really reward? The person that complains to him all the time? Now, David made complaints to God. I'm not saying we don't. You read the Psalms and you read what David did. But usually it's always straightened out at the end. You know, Psalm 75. Is that the one where it says, you know, I was saying this to God and that to God and comparing, you know, what the evil are doing and they're getting away with it. And then I caught myself. And if I would have said this to God, then I would have been wrong. That's what he said. So we don't want to complain to God. We can let him know our needs, and we can tell him to take vengeance. You know, there's all types of things that we can do, but a complaining attitude, we have to be careful. So continue earnestly, and that means these are not prayers where we're falling asleep. These are not fall asleep prayers, okay? These are earnest prayers. I think it's better to have a 20-minute earnest prayer than a 45-minute ho-hum prayer, you know? In other words, we need to be earnest in prayer. It does take energy. I've often wondered, you know, where the Bible says, you know, with hands lifted up, you can't not be ho-hum with your hands lifted up. Just try to hold your hands up in prayer. Which is good to do, by the way, brethren. It is good not to always just be looking down like, woe is me, and I'm so sorry. But, you know, we praise God, and we do this, and it's good to do that from time to time. Not in this church hall, you know, not in public, but in our prayers, we do that. But we're earnest, we're watchful in it, because we want to make sure we're thankful. Thankfulness is so much a part of our way of life, our attitude in life. Philippians 4 and verse 6, it says, make your requests. I'm not turning there. We're familiar with that scripture. It's an oft-used scripture, not only in the church, but it's one of the most used scripture, I think, in the nominal Christian world. It just is. They just love that scripture. Make your requests known to God with thanksgiving, is what it says. With thanksgiving. Then 1 Thessalonians 5:16. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. Now, if we have that attitude, rejoice always, then what kind of attitude are we in? We're in a thankful attitude if we're rejoicing. Pray with thanks without ceasing. So always be in that attitude of prayer. Then in everything, it doesn't say just give thanks. It says in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God. So you say, what is your will? Your will be done. Well, then what I want you to do is I want you to in everything give thanks. We don't say, well, I didn't mean that, God. What is your will in my life? Well, what I want you to do is in everything I want you to give thanks. Oh, but we don't do it, do we? We don't do it as we should. I don't do it as my... We should. On Thanksgiving Day, just because it's Thanksgiving Day, I've had the habit, and we've had the habit, of thinking of everything that we need to be thankful for. Just trying to, when we pray, not pray about anything else, except maybe thank you for the haul that you're going to give us. But we need to be just thinking about what we thank God for. Quite often, brethren, I just go back in life to my calling, to when I was a teenager, and I've gone through and just talked to God about Him calling me when I was young, and then going to Ambassador College, and then going to England, and then getting married, and, you know, just every step of the way what God has done in my life, so I can remember all of these blessings that God has given me. And then I think, and I say to God, I know where I would have been if I would not have been called into the church. I know exactly where I would have been. And I try to think of the worst case scenario too. You know, it's not like I'm going to be the most successful guy in the world and a multimillionaire. I don't go that direction because I don't think that's what would have happened. I think my life would have been an absolute mess. That's why I say that, well, I know it would have been an absolute mess. God does call not my brother who's successful, not my sister who's successful, but God calls the weak of the world. So why did God call me? It's because I was so religious. No, God calls the weak of the world, and He calls the unwise of the world. Okay, the main reason that we're not thankful. This is point number one, was thankfulness is a command. The second point that I have down here, the main reason we are not thankful, Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20. And this was brought out in the literature this past week that came out of the Home Office or out of the last 2-3 months whenever some of this was written. Romans 1:20 and 21. Since the creation of this world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. We look into the heavens, we look at the stars, we look at the human body. This is what it's saying. Take a look at God's creation, every aspect of it, and we see His power, His might, His attributes. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and His Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, although they knew God, so He's talking about the ones who knew God here. They knew God. Now, this is us. This is us. This is not just those who knew God in the past. It's talking about us. We know God. They did not glorify Him as God, meaning praising God. There's a difference between praising and being thankful. Not too much. They go really hand in hand or hand in glove, whatever. They are so close, but we praise God for His acts, for His greatness, and then you thank God for the results in our life. Okay, but that's something I read, and you start to think about that, and it's like, man, it seems like they're even closer than that. It seems like they just, praise can be used for thankfulness and worshiping, hallowing God. And then thankfulness can be thanking God for His greatness, His majesty, and all His acts. So, it's kind of a circle, I think. But the point is, they're not looking at glorifying God, the greatness of God, number one. And because they don't look at the greatness of God, they're not going to be thankful. And I think this is the core of it all. If we don't recognize and praise God for His power, and I always say power and His mercy. Power and His mercy. Because when I'm anointing people, you know what I want? I want God to be powerful so that He can intervene like this. That's how I want to think of Him. And then I want Him to be very loving and merciful. Okay, so that He will do it. So He'll use His power to do it. Because He can be powerful enough to heal us, but if He's not loving and merciful, and of course mercy is part of love, then is He going to heal us? So we want both. And we want mercy because we know we messed up, and probably part of the reason we're sick is it's our fault, right? It's our fault. And God says in James that if we have sinned, if that's the reason that we have a disease, if we have sinned, then we will be forgiven, is what He says. So we need to always ask God for forgiveness for anything that we've done that brought on our problems. So in Romans 1:20, they knew God, that's us. Number two, they don't glorify Him. That's, you know, hallowed be Your name. And of course, when we say hallowed be Your name, if that's all we do in prayer, and we just go through the rote prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. You know, that does not, that's not a long enough prayer when we're on our knees for, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes or whatever. It means that we actually take the time to praise God. And we think of all of these things that we need to praise God for and be thankful to God. And then, if we don't do that, what's going to happen? If we don't recognize God in our life? In 2 Timothy, I'm not going to go there, but it says that we are in an age at the end of time where we're unthankful and unholy. Unthankful and unholy, those two. In one of the articles, and I did write this quote down, and I forget the author, it may have been Mr. Groves who said this, or it may have been Mr. Bennett. I think it was Mr. Bennett's article. It says, being unthankful belies an underlying rejection of God. Being unthankful belies an underlying, or, you know, shows that we have an underlying rejection of God. It brings to the surface, when we're unthankful, it brings an attitude to the surface that shows that we are rejecting God. That's what it does. So if I'm unthankful, I remember some occasions, this was years and years ago, but a man had given a sermonette, and I said, that sermonette was really good. And the response I received was, and I thought, what did I say? Did I just cuss him out? You know, there's something missing here. I don't know what I did. And I didn't say anything at all more than that. But it's like, there should have been a response. Well, I thank God for, you know, giving me the ability to speak, or to thank you, or something. Some type of response that would be positive anyway. But the response was almost like, well, you didn't have to tell me that. I knew it was a good sermonette. I remember as a kid, if I didn't get a response from people, if I didn't get enough attention, I still remember the time I bought a shirt and I went around saying, do you like my shirt? And they'd say, yes, I bought it myself. You know, a little kid is cute, but it's just we have to respond some way positively, whatever way would be, you know, to at least, you know, say, well, thank you, or thank you for listening, or I'm glad you didn't go to sleep, or something, you know, like that. But it's like I deserve that, you know. In fact, I actually, come on, give me more. Not only was it a great sermonette, but what, the tremendous genius behind it, maybe, and you know, I don't know what else the person was looking for, but you know, some of these things, it makes us think, well, I've got to make sure that I respond positively to a compliment. Then he goes on to say, Mr. Bennett, if we don't recognize what he has done for us, if we don't recognize what God has done for us in this case, we put something else in his place. We put something else in his place. If it's not God that we recognize as doing it, then who are we recognizing? And went on to say in another sentence about a little later, we make a God of ourselves. We make a God of ourselves. I thought that hit it right on. There's a book that my wife reminded me of. In fact, it was this morning. She knew I was going to be giving this sermon for a few, probably for 2 weeks, I think. 2 weeks ago I mentioned that I was going to give a sermon on thank you. And this morning she said, you know, I have a book and there's a chapter. And when I picked the book up and looked at it, I remembered reading it. But Marion bought this. I think her brother actually got her onto this. Her niece, yeah, it was her niece. And it's a book called Becoming a Better Human, or A Better Human, It's a Full-Time Job. Better Human, It's a Full-Time Job. And it's written by a woman named Rhonda Conger, C-O-N-G-E-R, C-O-N-G-E-R. And the chapter is How Not to Be, or the section in the chapter is How Not to Be Thankful. This is page 34, and I thought it was really, the way she did it, it's really a unique book. She's got a lot of white, and there's this page out here you can see, How Not to Be Thankful. She didn't just, you know, put it in the book, but it's artistic, actually, the way she did it. Kind of, it gets you. And I thought, if I write a book, I'm going to have to do something like that, you know. How Not to Be Thankful. But I think she nailed down also some responses or some definitions of what it's like not to be thankful. Sense of entitlement, you deserve only good things. That will bring out unthankfulness in us. It's a sense of entitlement. We deserve only good things. Too busy to be thankful. Too busy. In other words, something else takes priority. It's not thankfulness. We're just too busy to thank God or people. Or, and I thought this is very good, this happens so often, we have a preconceived idea of how life is supposed to be, and we're upset when it doesn't line up the way we want it. We have a preconceived idea. And as Christians, it's not supposed to be, everything is not supposed to be perfect. How could we build character? You know, whether it's job situations, people problems, marriage difficulties from time to time, not in our marriage. Of course, everybody has to work out problems in marriage and family, on the job. You know, life is not supposed to be perfect. With automobiles, I only use 4 quarts of oil in the last 600 miles. So it's probably I forgot to put the cap on the, you know, the oil or something. But when a car gets old, it's like our bodies. It just breaks down more often. So I'm just not taking it to the doctor to fix it in this case, to the mechanic. I will. On this one here, I'll take it to the mechanic. Okay, your life is difficult. How not to be thankful, okay? Increased ease does not cause thankfulness. You are less appreciative when you are comfortable. Less appreciative when you're comfortable. Another one, you don't take the time or the eyes to see it. What we should be thankful for. How about this? Bitterness over our past prevents us from seeing beauty in the present. These are just expressions that people who have looked at life and thought about the subject have just nailed it down. It's all biblically based. I think all of these expressions just tie right in with the principles that we find in the Bible. Bitterness is mentioned in the Bible, of course. Bitterness over our past prevents us from seeing beauty in the present. Or you don't think about the roles people play in our lives. You think you were self-made. You know, why are we... My mother was talking to me, and she said, "Greg, I just don't understand why you have some of the problems you do." I said, "Well, let's see. My dad was Floyd, and my mom was Ella. I'm not sure which side it came from." I could do that to my mom if she was in not an antagonistic attitude. You know, I could tease her a little bit. She didn't know what. She didn't say anything after that one. I don't know. But you are self-absorbed. You're self-absorbed. Or things aren't always good and you think they should be. And that ties back into we think there should never be a problem in life. So how can we build character if we don't have problems? So those are some of the things that I took out of this one book that I thought were really good. Psalm 136, if you want some psalms to take a look at, this one ties in the subject of praise, you know, glorifying God, and then being thankful. And notice the theme on this one. Now, I did this one out of memory, so it may be not Psalm 136, it may be Psalm 36. But I think it is, yes. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Psalm 136. So we start with thankfulness. Give thanks to God because He's good. And then it says His mercy endures forever. Then give thanks to the God of gods. That's the same God that is mentioned in verse 1. For His mercy endures forever. Verse 3, Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. So guess what we are to be thankful for? The rest of the verses, except for the very last one, which also says, give thanks to the God of heavens, His mercy endures forever, it's all about mercy. So if there's anything that we should be thankful for, it should be mercy. But it's interesting how when David was thanking God, it wasn't like in prayer, thank you, God, for your mercy. What he went through was, well, verse 4 all the way through verse 25, that would be, 22 verses inclusive? 22 verses of showing what God's mercy is. So when we pray, it's breaking it down like incense. Really, really tiny. Where you take the word mercy, and all of these are acts of mercy. And David is thanking God for His act of mercy in verse 1. His great wonders, that's merciful. Making the heavens was merciful. Laying out the water, or the earth above the waters, very merciful. The way He did that, you know, with the water coming up only so high on any given city. And we're going to, of course, maybe cause some problems with that. If we have too many cows in the field, you know, the methane gas coming from those cows are causing a lot of problems. You've heard that, don't you? You know, it's not the warming of the earth, it's a methane gas. So stop raising so many cows. You're causing the earth to melt, the ice plains. But anyway, mankind does not do a very good job in taking care of this earth. And it's not the cows that are the problem, by the way. But the details here, the details are just amazing. And if we do this like David did, we're going to end up more thankful because we're bringing up situation after situation, act after act, blessings after blessings. It just goes on. And we can do that, and we can use the Psalms to help us do it. That's why the Psalms are so good, because they do a lot for us that David was inspired to write down, which we may not think of. So the Psalms are always good. Psalm 100, let's go back there. Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving. It's only 5 verses here, but I would love to hear that song, make a joyful shout, because these were psalms, these were hymns that David was singing. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. So it's always coming back to God is responsible for us. I think all of us think from time to time where we were in 1906. Now, I say 1906 because there's nobody here that was alive in 1906. So it's like, it's always good to say, you know, Father, I know I didn't exist at one time. There was at one time I did not exist at all. There was no thought. There was no device. You know, we go back to Ecclesiastes. There's nothing that I was doing. And this is good for us because it humbles us. When we can bring ourselves down to the point of not even being around and dwell on it, it humbles us because we know we could be in that same state again. And then we become a little bit more thankful for who we are and what we have and our high calling. There's a few more that are mentioned, and I'll just refer you back to some of those daily Bible verses of this past past 2 weeks. But let's go to Deuteronomy 8, and then I want to dwell just a little bit on people before we end. Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 20. Of course, it's in Deuteronomy, making it the year before the children of Israel went into the promised land where they were going to be blessed. It was that promise that God reminded Moses of, the promise that God gave to Abraham. And he did tell Abraham, look, in about 430 years, these children, the children of Israel, are going to go into a promised land. 430 years from the time of the promise that God gave to Abraham. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. Okay, you're going into the land. Now, just very shortly now, God said, when you've eaten and you're full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He's given you. Blessing and thanking. Blessing is not the same as God blesses us. We bless God, meaning we give God something. Well, what we give God is thanksgiving. We're blessing Him with thanksgiving. Bless the Lord your God for the good land. Beware that you don't forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes. So first and foremost, we are blessing God. We're thankful to God by following His commandments. We're not giving Him lip service, in other words. That's not first, because thankfulness could be just lip service. But when we are obedient, following commandments, that's not lip service. We're showing God we're really thankful by obeying Him, by doing what He tells us to do. Verse 12, lest when you've eaten, you're full, you have built beautiful houses and you've dwelt in them, your herds, your flocks multiply, you have silver and gold that are multiplied, all that you have is multiplied. Verse 13, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, what happens? We are lifted up because we forget God. It comes right back to Romans 1, where when you knew God, you forgot God. It's that same principle. Your heart is lifted up when you forget that God is the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents, scorpions, thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the rock. Like a river, by the way, it says in the Psalms. Verse 16, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand. What is it we are showing to God if we're unthankful? We're showing that we are God. So God did all this, but if we say we did it, then we make ourselves God. If I'm unthankful, then I'm making myself God. I deserve it. I'm the one that has all these gifts where I can do carpentry or where I can do mechanics or where I can, you know, be a landscaper. I'm not talking about myself, by the way, in all of this, but just throwing things out here where we say I'm the one responsible for what I have. It's through my work and my effort. We don't ever want to say that. Verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God. It's He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers. Because I gave you a covenant, I'm going to give you the wealth. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, you're going to do what? You're going to follow other gods. And we always make gods like unto ourselves. That's where gods come up. Where do these religions come from? Well, they come from the mind of men. That's from them making up their standard and then promulgating it, promoting it to all mankind. So you got Hindus and Muslims and all the other isms that are from the mind of human beings who create God, meaning themselves. And then it says you're going to perish. Okay, now what about thanking people? Well, it's the golden rule. You know, in Matthew 7, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's such a key. If I would like people to be thankful for their sake, always, if I would like people to be thankful for their sake, because it's helpful to them, and that's always the case, not for me, because this is the way God looks at it. I want them to be thankful. God is going to continue whatever we do, Job said, and about Job 38, wasn't it? You know, whether they curse God or they thank God, it isn't going to change God. It has no bearing on God. God is going to be the way God is, whether we, you know, have a problem with them all our life or whether we bless them all our life. There's not going to be a difference. God only wants us to fulfill His law and in this case be thankful for our own sake. And so we want people to be thankful for their sake, but that means also we need to be thankful for our own sake. For our own sake. There is a section in this one article, and it's basically on being thankful to people, but it's the article by Mr. Bennett, and I'll just read you about three paragraphs. Self-centeredness and ingratitude towards people, we're talking about, but also to God, it works both ways. But self-centeredness and ingratitude grate on the nerves of those around us, leading to lack of intimacy and to isolation. Husbands, our wives were made to be a helper in many ways, including being our chief counselor. Okay, if we are not grateful to our wife, is she going to be as intimate and as close to you? Doesn't it cause lack of intimacy if we are not grateful to the help that our wives give us? That works both ways too. It works to the husband. If the husband is not supporting, is that going to be helpful? Oh, I love my husband. He never supports me. No, it's going to actually cause problems. And isolation, this is what happens when we're not, when we're self-centered and when we're not grateful. Unthankfulness can poison relationships and prevent new ones from forming. That's what it does. No one likes to be around a, well, I did this, and I was really great, and I was really good. We like to be around those people who say, you know, God has been good to me, and He's blessed me, and we don't like to be around braggadocios at all. We don't. We don't. You know, we can talk to each other. I'm not saying we can't. We can share stories of what happened in our lives. We don't want to take this to the point where I'll never talk about anything I've ever done. You know, we can have fun with each other and talk about what we've done. That's how you get close to one another, certainly. But we just don't want to become a person that is not grateful and self-centered. Unthankfulness poisons relationships. Then another paragraph. Cultivating an attitude of gratitude has been linked to better health, sounder sleep. There's other reasons where we lose sleep, of course. you know, probably drinking a pint of whiskey before you go to bed wouldn't give you the best sleep in the world. So there's reasons. So I think we understand what we're talking about here. But better health, sounder sleep, less anxiety and depression, higher long-term satisfaction with life, kinder behavior toward others. A new study shows that feeling grateful makes people less likely to turn aggressive when provoked. So, in fact, a boss probably could approach you, you know, and be upset, and you could say, well, you know, I really thank you for bringing that out to me, because that's going to help me be a better employee, and it'll serve the company better, won't it? I appreciate that. It's like, good job, whatever. But it's amazing, a soft answer turns away wrath. What about that? That should be in the Proverbs. I don't know why they didn't put it in there. So whatever people have come up with, and actually this is a quote from a guy named John Turney, but if it's correct, it's always coming from a Bible principle. God thought of it first, right? Why does gratitude do so much? More than any other emotion, gratitude is the emotion of friendship, this one Dr. Michael McCullough says. It is part of a psychological system that causes people to raise their estimates of how much value they hold in the eyes of another person. So that's all I'll read. I just thought those few sentences really were very, very beneficial. So when it comes to people, and like I said in the beginning, we are going to treat God the way we treat people. Maybe not right away, maybe not for 1,000 years, but bottom line is, when we have fellowship, who are we having fellowship with? 1 John says we're having fellowship with Jesus Christ and God. Especially when it's with people who have God's Spirit, because it is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Romans 8 and Galatians 4. I'll end with just one other point here that I think caps it all off, and that is one of the hardest things to be thankful for, and that is for trials. For trials. I say that caps it off because if we can be thankful for trials, then God knows we are a thankful person. James 1, verses 2 through 4. James 1, verses 2 through 4. And this is hard. Now, I can preach this, but it doesn't make it easy. I can read it, and it doesn't make it easy at all. Because there are all types of things that can upset us on a day-by-day basis. I don't know if a day goes by where I don't have something that can upset me if I let it. Just, unless you are sleeping all day, then it's going to be a bad dream. And when you wake up, you're going to be upset at you, unless you've been sick. You've been get upset for sleeping all day. But there are various trials here, it says in verse 2 of James 1. There are various trials. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Various trials. And again, it is joyful. Why can we be joyful? Well, it says, the testing of your faith produces patience. It's going to produce patience. A trial makes you not accomplish as much as you wanted to. That's basically what it's saying here. Because if a trial makes us patient, that means we can't do as much. I can never get done in one day's time. Marianne has said the same thing. I've done nothing today, is what she says. At the end of the day where she's been working all day, she said, I've accomplished nothing. And I look at her and say, yeah, superwoman, yeah, you have you, supergirl? But we all have that same. Have you ever had a project and you only have so much time and you think you're going to accomplish this much this Tuesday, this much Wednesday, and this much Thursday, and then it's going to be done? And it's like half done on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then you have to stay up, or you have to look at yourself and you say, you know, I have been gift wrapping the garbage too much, trying to make this too perfect. How about that? Something is causing us. But anyway, it is a trial, and we know that we need to have patience. We can say, well, wait a minute, God, this isn't testing my faith in God. And the answer is, well, what is the love of God? The love of God is patience. It is testing. And it doesn't have to be a religious test of keeping the Sabbath that is testing your faith. Testing faith means it is testing the faith of Christ, which means the Spirit of Christ. That is being tested all the time. The Spirit of Christ. Are we going to yield to it or are we not going to yield to it? One way or the other, we're going to yield to it. And patience is part of the Spirit of God. So let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, patience is one of the biggies. Will we be willing to suffer for righteousness' sake? The scripture I'm thinking about that came up when Mr. Freeman gave his sermonette was 1 Peter 3:10, I believe it was. And it says, when you're persecuted, you're going to be blessed for it. So we're going to be blessed for anything that we go through if we keep the end in mind. We are seeking the kingdom and God's righteousness. And righteousness involves every aspect of life. And again, brethren, just because I'm a minister, I've said so many times, I didn't wake up with this suit on. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like this. It's just like this because my wife ironed it. That's why it's not wrinkled. It's not because I'm a minister and it just automatically, you know, is there. Did you know I brush my teeth? Yeah, everything that happens to everybody, it says, don't think there's any trial that hasn't hit everybody else. We all have the same trials. We all have the same tests. But when we can suffer for righteousness' sake and then be thankful, be joyful, can we be thankful? And the answer is, yeah, we can be thankful. Just out of this book, a couple of things here. I just remembered there was a couple of things she said. I've had some pretty evil people in my life who did whatever they could to tear me down. I'm thankful for them. They taught me how not to behave. Okay? So you can always look at the other side. They taught me I can survive. How about this one? Do a personal audit on the items that you, or problems you're going through. The only way I can survive my past is to be thankful for it. The hardships have taught me that I'm a warrior, not a victim. I thought this was good too. I'm either a warrior or a victim. A warrior, a victim asks why me. It says I don't deserve this. The warrior says I can handle it. I can be better because of this. Warriors say thank you. Warriors say thank you. One of my favorite moments was NBA's Kevin Durant's MVP speech. She said, what a beautiful speech. We could all learn from it. He took all 7 minutes of his MVP speech to talk about everyone but himself. He gets it. He personally thanked each of his teammates, his coaches, and his mother. It was not an acceptance speech. It was a thank you speech. I thought, and you know, that happens from time to time. But she just has a couple things. It's a short chapter. There's only about 4 pages on this. But she says, keep a gratitude journal. My mother-in-law kept a gratitude journal. She wrote everything down that happened in her life, and she was always thankful. And she remembered what people gave her and what happened, what God blessed her with. So if we then can be thankful, and I'll go to one last scripture here, Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 17. But if we can be thankful for suffering, then it says a lot. Romans 7 and verse 17 and verse 18. And that may be wrong. I think it's actually going to be Romans 8. I marked down Romans 7. I'm doing this to test you. I'm almost positive it's going to be Romans 8. But anyway, let's see what it says here. Romans 8, verse 17. It is chapter 8. If children, then heirs, okay, the Spirit itself, verse 16, bears witness with our spirit. Romans 8, verse 17 now. If children, then inheritors. Inheritors of God and joint inheritors with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We're going to be spirit beings. We're going to be just like Christ. How can we complain? How can we not be thankful? It's been said that there will have been 100 billion people that will have lived on this earth by the time Jesus Christ returns. And cut it in half, 50 billion. It's still a big number. And let's say that there are 200,000 first fruits. 200,000. That may be close. Even if 300,000, it still is a big number. But if there are 200,000 first fruits, that's the beginning of the millennium now we're talking about, and there will have been 100 billion people, that means that God is calling 2 first fruits for every million people. Just subtract 5 zeros from each side, okay? And that's what you get. God says, you are really something else. You're one of my first fruits. And I'm putting a lot of stock in you, and I'm giving you a crown, and there's only 2 of you first fruits for every million. Excuse me. Only 2. Can we complain to God? Like, God, why is everybody picking on me? I'm so rejected. You know, I've got it so tough in this life. When you look at it that way, it's like God says, what do you want me to do? I mean, how much more can I spell it out? What was it this morning on the news? They're finding that whole milk now is better for you than low-fat milk. And I said to my wife, hello? It's like God is in all of this. And if we're first fruits, it's like God is the one that has done all this. We have nothing to complain about and everything to be thankful for. So let's be thankful for the next haul that we're going to have.